I love being with people. It's the most incredible thing in the world.
What are you doing?
How about a nebula?
Oh, this is nice.
What would this gorgeous gas cloud look
realize
like up close?
That this fabric is not limited to one zone or another. In fact, there's a region of the fabric that could hash out an entire universe with the variations in the laws of physics simply because...
How is humanity saved if it's not allowed to evolve?
Good question real quick. Does evil exist? And if so, can one detect and measure it? Oh.
Reality can be whatever I want.
You are now inside our nebula.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, how's it going, boys and girls? Welcome back to the 16th episode of the Into the Nebula podcast. I'm joined right here with my co-host, Antimatter. How's it going?
Yes, hello, everyone. It is I, your co-host, Antimatter. And today we are having a special guest. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, hello, everybody. My name is Graviton, and it's a pleasure to be here tonight with you guys.
It's Graviton the Destroyer, guys. Graviton the Destroyer. We have to stick with the theme.
Stick with the theme. Yeah. Look at you forcing this on.
I told you. It makes sense. Anyway, so today we have quite the array of topics. We have the PlayStation Showcase that came out. We also have some stuff launched by Shonen Jump. We have DC on their end trying to do some stuff. And we have Marvel What If. Quite a roster right here signed up. So tune in for that.
There's so many things.
So many things, and I'm really excited to talk about all of them, you guys.
Alright, so the first thing up on the list is One Piece news. So Oda has gone on another interview and restated again that he plans on ending the One Piece Shonen manga in 5 years. Reason being, he's under contract, and the contract ends in 5 years. He doesn't want to renew the contract, because if he does renew it for another, let's say, 10 or 5 years, he has to stretch the story. So, he's trying to meet the deadline. That explains a lot, so I'm interested in seeing how it goes. Do you guys believe he's going to make it?
No, he's going to make it, like, because me personally, I think there's probably, like, after Wano, like, maybe 3 arcs left. Like, that's just me thinking.
Wano is taking two years, bro.
Yeah. I'm saying.
That's a thing.
Yeah, but I feel as though Wano's gonna end like within like this next year.
Okay.
Within the next year, it'll end.
I agree. I do think Wano is gonna end by the end of this year. Honestly,
I don't know about the end of this year, bro. Like with the stuff that's going on right now.
Like, the manga, yeah, I mean,
maybe like I would assume early next year.
Yeah,
I was thinking this year only because we know that Luffy is going back to fight him, and I think this will be the last time they do fight, and it seems like they're wrapping up the other fights as well.
I will say, like, do not give any specific specific spoilers for the fans and Antimatter.
I know. Yeah, I was going to say, I know Antimatter is not up to date, so I didn't want to say anything specifically.
Okay.
But
I refuse to read.
It's okay.
That's what I do.
The anime experience is so nice, and right now, they are about to introduce Yamato, which is very exciting.
That's my bae. That's my bae, right? I love Yamato.
They already didn't introduce her.
Oh, they did introduce her. Mm-hmm. But guess what? Her voice actor is Sayori Hayami, I believe. Isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the same. I don't know her specific name like that, but I know like she's the same chick who did Shinobu from Demon Slayer. She's done... She's done other stuff, but I could only remember.
She's also done Rachel from Tower of God. If you
fuck that bitch. Oh. I'm sorry, guys.
Oh, I hate her.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Oh no. That's a whore right there. I'm sorry. Like, look, voice actress is a lovely woman. Okay, lovely person. Like her voice. She played a whore.
Honestly, Rachel is a terrible person.
All right.
One of my least favorite characters ever.
Next up, going on the list, we have One Piece live action. So the first episode title has come out. We do have the logo being out. The first episode title will be called Romance Dawn. I personally have faith in this live action. The creator is Matt Owens. He is a former Marvel writer, and he's used to writing out-of-worldly characters. So I have faith in this.
I'm holding my excitement. Whatever. If it's good, that's great. If it's not good, which it probably won't be, considering it's a Netflix live-action adaptation.
Netflix got the money for it!
Netflix has the money, but they don't have the talent. Look at Cowboy Bebop, for God's sake.
Well, Matt Owens is a great director.
Yeah, there's been a lot of negativity surrounding the One Piece live action, but honestly, I say give it a chance.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah.
I'm giving it a chance, but I'm not gonna you know, jump out of my seat for it.
Okay.
I mean, like, Oda himself, when he agreed to the live action,
right?
All he asked was that it was a faithful adaptation, and you know, I have faith that they'll, you know, at least do that much to make this show actually really good.
It's got three episodes to wow me. If it doesn't wow me within the three episodes and I hate it, well then damn.
Par
for the course. Netflix's
track record isn't too good, but I have a little faith in them. Plus, I also think that the exposure from this around the Western side will be pretty good, because a lot of Western anime fans don't really know too much about stuff like One Piece. They're more so leaning towards like Naruto and Dragon Ball Z, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think this will be a great exposure on the Western side. It's because everybody has Netflix.
That's true. That's how you get more... This man got a point. Okay, I never thought about that. Huh.
Yeah, I guess there is a possibility it will be introduced to more people that probably would have never given One Piece a chance.
Okay. Honestly.
I do want to stop for a special message. So we do have a special message. Graviton's sister's birthday was... Did I say that right? Yeah, sister's birthday was yesterday. Yeah. Happy birthday! We hope you enjoyed it. There we go. All right.
Congratulations. You're another year older. Y'all... Yeah.
Alright, next up we have Seven Deadly Sins movie update. So the movie will be coming out by the end of this year. That's the only update we got. It wasn't much of an update.
Yo, that's Shonen awesome. Said that.
Yeah, it's supposed to come to Netflix, right? Mm-hmm.
It's not the one that came out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think it's called Judgment of Light. I don't remember, but I believe the studio that's making it is better than the studio that made Season 3. So we should be expecting better animation.
Like, you can only go up from there.
Yeah.
In comparison to Season 3, you can only go upwards. That's what I say.
If I remember correctly, there were some statements that the theme of the villains might be the Four Horsemen, but that's just speculation, so.
That's actually pretty interesting.
Yeah, they've been sticking to the Bible theme, and I think the Four Horsemen would be nice to add that for a villain of a movie. I want to see how that goes. My favorite character is still Escanor, so.
My favorite character is also Escanor.
Yeah.
Good taste.
Alright, next up on the list we have, our competitors. So apparently Spotify decided
that they're... Our competitors.
Right. I mean, I don't want to, like, put us on a high pedestal, but I feel like these are our competitors. Spotify decided that they were going to launch their own anime-based podcast, and it's going to be called AniZone. It's a little lame of a name if you ask me, but who's judging? The hosts of each episode will be voice actors from favorite and popular animes. We have the host of September being the voice actors from Shaman King. The host of October will be Sword Art Online. And the host of December will be the voice actresses of JoJo Stone Ocean.
Okay, hold on.
Ooh, Stone Ocean, no way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, wait, hold on.
Right.
You kind of activated me for a second. I'm like, oh, hey, that's neat. Then wait, hold on. Stone Ocean?
You said. The voice actors of JoJo Stone Ocean would be hosting the December podcast. So that's going to be interesting.
Wow.
Dude, they got money. Spotify got money like that. Okay, I see how it is. Y'all out here trying to put a competition. It will be coming out every Friday night starting in September. Well, late September.
Oh. Look, all I'm saying is, if Spotify ever decided to call me and be like, hey, we want you to be the official host for this podcast, I'm sorry, but I would leave you in a second.
Hey, man, that's a great opportunity.
That's a great opportunity, man.
I'm not even going to fault you.
Because, look, all I'm saying is, they pay me.
Yeah, you're right. I'm not going to fault you. All right, next up on the list, we have Demon Slayer second season. So there were a lot of speculations of the second season. Based on the manga, the second season of the manga was just brutal, gory, a lot of hands missing, shoulders missing.
Yes.
People were worried that during the animation it might get censored. Shonen Jump has come out and stated that it will not be censored. However, in Japan, it will be published on a TV program that's set for mature audiences. This program is known for popular in the 1990s for showing pornography. So, yeah, in Japan, you could have just switched the channel and be like, hey, yo, it's porn. Nice. But, yeah, so it's been banned ever since the 1990s, but the channel will be coming back specifically for Demon Slayer. Nice.
Damn.
Right?
Very
bro,
nice.
Man, Shonen got money, bro. Man.
Just bring back a whole network for their one show.
It might just continue the trend. You know, we might got, who knows, maybe the animation for, what's it called? The Chainsaw Man. Yeah, it's pretty gory. So it might be...
Oh, Chainsaw Man.
Yeah. It might start going on there. I don't know. Is it Matt?
Mappa.
Okay, Mappa.
Oh, Mappa. Same Mappa's really good at
Jujutsu Kaisen guys. The Jujutsu Kaisen guys.
I love Jujutsu Kaisen, man. I'm like up to date in the manga right now. I'm not up to date.
I'm 10 chapters behind, exactly 10. So, I'm interested. I think what really my most favorite arc right now was when I don't even know now. I can't spoil it because Antimatter only watches the anime.
I'm lazy. I don't read.
It's fair. Oh yeah. Anime viewers do get to enjoy a lot more, honestly.
Yeah, because they get to see it colored in motion.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the scene, I believe,
the motion, the sound, you know,
that's true. Mm-hmm. There's a scene, it's already been animated, but there's a scene where Itadori picks up, what was the girl's name? What was her name? It's not Nanami, it's something else. It starts with an N. The girl with the brown hair. Oh my gosh, what's her name?
Nobara?
I know it was, it starts with an N, so I just call her Nobari.
Oh, Nobari.
Yeah, Nobari.
So, I think it's Nobari.
He picks up Nobari, and this man just jets, like, going fast as fuck, and when that scene was animated, I loved it. It was beautiful. So I do admit that animations does make a good deal. I just can't wait. I'm not patient. So, you know, yeah.
I feel you on that, honestly.
Next up, Shinobu Otaka, the creator of Magi, will be releasing the animation of their new show, Orient. This will be coming 2022. So maybe Netflix will handle this one the same way they handled Magi, but I don't know. Regardless, I haven't read Orient yet, but if it's the creator of Magi, I'm going into it, so.
Oh, trust me, bro. I've read a good amount of Orient, and it's really good.
Okay.
Otaka is a phenomenal mangaka. Like, I read Magi from, like, day one back in, like, 2009.
Right.
All the way to the end, and oh, man. She's a phenomenal mangaka. You'll definitely like Orient, and I can't wait to see that anime, because hopefully, because of the popularity of Orient coming, maybe Magi will get another season, because they are missing out on, like, one of the best arcs, like, immediately after the arc that they left on. Mm-hmm. So they really should bring it back, honestly speaking.
Okay, yeah. So Magi, a lot of its inspiration was taken from Muslim religion as well as the 72 lesser keys of Solomon. Those were the inspirations. So Muslim religion and Jewish religion. What are the inspirations for Orient?
I remember specifically, well, it's a lot about, like, blades, like, and, like, the power of, like, the blades, I remember specifically, but...
Is this set in Japanese? It's been a long time since... Like, is this set in Japan, or...?
It's, like, in an old prehistoric Japanese era, yes.
Okay, alright, so...
It's not very technologically advanced.
So...
They do have, like, vehicles, but it's not super advanced.
Okay, so we're talking about, like during the times of, like, Nobunaga and Muramasa the Blade?
So, yeah, no, if there's, like vehicles and stuff, that's probably, like...
That's...
Like, what, 1930s?
Yeah, that's 1920s? After Nobunaga.
I wouldn't think of it too much as, like, a time period, but, like, it's, like, a mixture of having vehicles and, like, having... And using blades. Not really weapons, like, guns and whatnot.
Okay. If it's made in... If it's, like, set in, like, the Japanese-style area and they're talking about blades, I feel like they're going to talk about Muramasa because that's one of, if not the most popular blade in Japanese folklore. So, we'll have to see. Okay.
Yeah, the main characters are based off of a very popular samurai. So, you'll definitely see whenever you get to watch it.
All right. In other news, My Hero Academia, the movie that's coming up, has decided they're going to have a new publicity stunt. So in Japan, for anyone who will be watching it in release night, you will be getting a special book coming out that will include the behind-the-scenes pictures and behind-the-scenes-only wallpapers. So Japan, you know, good luck to you. It hasn't been announced if it will come in the United States that way, but the movie is coming to the United States October 28th, and it will be available... for pre-sale October 1st, so there you go. I'm excited for it. I'm looking forward to it. I haven't been much of a fan of the recent anime of My Hero. However, in my manga, I am all in. The manga is beautiful right now.
Oh, man. I'm also all in the manga right now.
I mean, they made Deku cool. That's very hard to do, and they did it.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Honestly, Deku is... probably my least favorite character in the entire show. He was so unlikable before the current arcs, I would say.
This current arc really made me like him a lot more. So.
Oh yeah, he shines
it's
a
like,
lot.
It's
more.
Like this. He was fine in like the early parts, but I say like maybe after the whole Stain encounter, I think that's when he went just full on downhill. Because I'm like, nigga, where's the progression?
Yeah, he just felt like the same character that no one really liked. You know what I'm saying? Like in the beginning, you were rooting for him, but then at some point, you just started to not really like him. You know what I'm saying?
You start to
like
a Bakugo.
It's crazy. I started to like Bakugo more. Right? I liked Endeavor more.
Endeavor is my favorite. Endeavor is beautiful. Endeavor.
I love his redemption. He's the best.
Like, look, say what you want about Horikoshi and whatnot. He knows how to make a fucking redemption arc.
Oh, definitely.
He knows how to make an unlikable character somehow your favorite character, and I'll give him that. I give him that.
Him and Oda have that similarity right there, honestly speaking.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but Oda does it where he makes a ridiculous character a very likable character.
Oh, like Senor Pink?
Senor Pink, Clay, you know, like all these characters, you're like, man, what's this goofy ass? Then all of a sudden you hear, like you see them in action, like you hear their backstories, like, I love you, man!
Yeah, that's the same thing that happened with Barto, if you remember, like, no one liked him in the beginning because he was such a jackass, and then everybody loved him.
People like Boruto? Hold on, wait.
No, Barto, like Bartolomeo. Dressrosa.
People didn't like Bartolomeo? I loved
it. At the very beginning, because of when he was like pissing in the crowd and stuff.
Yeah, Bartolomeo was pretty annoying at first, yeah.
Yeah.
I just thought he was an asshole, and I'm like, hell yeah. I didn't really give him shit. Like, he's just an asshole. You know what? Good on him.
Yeah.
All right. Next up on the list, we have So I'm not skipping anything. Shang-Chi, because of the success of the Shang-Chi movie coming out, Venom has decided they're gonna have an early release of October 1st. I do feel bad, however, for My Hero. I mean, My Hero is only coming out October 28th, but the pre-sale are coming out the 1st. Nobody's gonna buy the pre-sale if Venom is out, so that's... Come on, bro. Venom is gonna take the tickets for that one.
Easily. I already pre-ordered my tickets as well.
I feel conflicted on whether or not to go watch that My Hero movie in theaters, because I'll have to deal with My Hero fans, honestly.
Oh, no. I've never seen an anime movie in theaters. I'm not trying to sit next to fans of, like, My Hero, honestly.
Eren Yeager. I swear to God, if I hear one, I'm shooting somebody.
Gosh. Oh, goodness.
I'm going to do what happened at the Dark Knight. I'll do it.
Sir, chill out.
That's how serious I am.
How was the Shang-Chi movie? I know both of you have seen it. I haven't seen it. I don't mind spoilers, Tell me what you guys thought. I don't mind.
Man, the movie was phenomenal. Uh-huh. It blew my expectations away. Like, I went in with expectations of it being good, but it went above and beyond for me personally. I really liked the Asian folklore that they showed in there.
Yeah, it was really nice. When I first walked into it, I'm like, look, I'm always like, okay, like, this is a joke, Mr. Negative, quote unquote, when it comes to new things. I'm like, man, it ended with Endgame. What the hell could you do now that would make me give a shit? But somehow they managed to make me give a shit.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Like, I'll say it like this: the antagonist is great. I'm not gonna give you any details, but he starts out like, you know, like the regular cartoony villain, like, oh, I want power and stuff. But then like. But then, like you see his progression into, from being like, I'm a power hungry man, to, I miss my family, and that gets you, like, so.
Yeah, there's a lot of emotions, honestly, going through that movie. So I felt a lot of emotions.
The fight scenes were great. So if anyone, you know, if you like, you know, the old school like kung fu movies, you know, like Bruce Lee, Jet Li type of stuff like that. You get a lot of that in here. I think all the fights are good. At the end, it kind of like goes back to, you know, like the CGI mess, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to say mess is like in a bad way, but you know, the big like CGI stuff that Marvel usually does with fights. But the early fights are great, I think. The usage of the said 10 rings, I really enjoy it.
So I was a little worried that it wasn't, you know, actually 10 rings and now it's 10 bands, but it looks like you guys say that it's still being done well, so I'll believe that, okay.
Yeah, absolutely. The fighting choreography, like Antimeter said, was phenomenal. Very great fighting. A lot of people will definitely enjoy that whenever they get to see it. And I hope you enjoyed it as well, right?
Okay. Yeah. Because you named the choreography, I do want to give a shout out to our friends. Well, my friend, I know one of the members of Marshall Club, the YouTube channel, Mikey. He is the guy who was actually playing one of the villains. So Marshall Club were hired to be in charge of the choreography. So shout out to Mikey and Marshall Club. You guys did a great job. I really appreciate you guys. I've only seen the behind the scenes.
He's gonna watch the movie and try and find him. He's like, right. The funny guy Mikey right there. Let's go, boy.
I know
Let's
I should have supported boy. Him by watching it, but I decided I was gonna wait. But shout out to you guys. I really appreciate you guys made it big. I remember when Marshall Club was such a little YouTube channel, and now it's so huge that Marvel is hiring you guys. Great job, guys. All right. Next up on the list, so I do have an unfortunate news and good news. Good news for Antimatter, unfortunate news for me. So Into the Nebula Season 1 will be ending October 20th, guys.
Yes!
yeah, Season 1 will be Very ending October 20th. News. However, we will be coming back for November 10th in Season 2. So,
damn it!
Antimatter, you got what? Like 3 weeks. You got 3 weeks of break, bro. We're good, we're good. We're like,
damn it, I thought I was finally done.
We will both have vacation, bro. We'll be back for
it's
season 2.
It's not fair!
At least you'll be able to see Eternals in that 3 weeks.
That is true. In time for season 2, we will try our best to release the YouTube channel. The reason why I've been waiting so long is because I didn't want to put it in the middle of the season, and I wanted to have it launched with a release of season 2. So, look forward to that, guys. The YouTube channel will officially be launched.
Woo! Alright.
Next up on the list, we have Batman the World. So DC reached out to a bunch of the people who go ahead and sign up for their data plans. And so they reached out to all of us and said, hey, could you advertise this to your friends or family? So I got to do it. So, and this is the segment they sent me, a whole paragraph. DC the World, marketing Batman's international influence on pop culture. DC will release first of its kind publishing event, Batman the World. This massive 184-page hardcover anthology launches globally in 14 international markets on Tuesday, September 14th. It'll feature stories by Batman by top creators across the globe. These stories will take place in their home countries, in which each version will be launched in, and they will be localized and distributed in the following territory: United States, Brazil, China, Czech Republic, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, Mexico, Poland, Russia, South Korea, Spain, and Turkey. I'm interested. A whole, special launch comic dedicated to these 14 countries with Batman. Okay, I'm interested. Definitely sounds hype. Alright, do you guys have any thoughts on that one before we move on to the next topic?
That's actually really interesting. You know, I did see an advertising for it on Amazon, and they had, like, the hardcover being on sale as well. Mm-hmm. Isn't it around, like, $24, I believe?
That is a little much more expensive than the average comic. The average comic is usually around $3, $5, but because it is a special launch, so I see why they're doing it, I don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested. I'm definitely going to buy it because I love collecting comic books and I'm excited. Also, the launch of these Marvel's Dark Ages finally came out, I believe, Tuesday of this week. And dude, you guys got to read it. The Marvel Dark Ages is beautiful. I don't remember who the writer is, but it's looking amazing. Speaking of writers,
I assume it's Marvel's taking place in the Dark Ages, or am I completely wrong?
No. So it's gonna be. Let me go ahead and give a brief summary without spoiling anything. So, the focal point, it starts by telling it from the perspective of Spider-Man. That's not spoiling because it was also in the trailer of the comic. But so essentially, the world has been taken over by some guy who is a Celestial. Of course, the Celestials are broken and powerful, but in order to stop him, Doctor Strange had to release a worldwide magical EMP to block down every form of the technology. And while the world was not able to recover from it, so now there's no technology, there's no nothing, they're all in the literal Dark Ages. Iron Man has to cope without using technology and has to use steampunk tech. You have Doctor Doom using different versions. Oh, you have Miles Morales being taken over by Venom. That's something that happens.
Ooh.
There's gonna be a lot of things, and I'm excited. So Spider-Man's web shooters, they don't work, so he's using these very big, bulky, junk-made web shooters. It's very interesting, it's very beautiful, and I am excited. Somebody dies in the first issue. I won't say who, but you're gonna be surprised.
Wow. That sounds very exciting, actually.
Yeah.
I definitely gotta check it out, man.
Next up in the Batman news, we have Batman Webtoons. So Webtoons has gotten in collaboration with DC Comics, and they decided they were going to release a webtoon version of Batman. The first two chapters are out. The third chapter will be coming out weekly, if I am correct. And yeah, I haven't read it yet. It's supposed to be based on the Batman family, and that's how it's going to be interesting. I'm interested. Like, webtoons usually focus more on the drama side rather than the action side, so I want to see the drama that's in the Bat family. So
yeah, I've seen it. I've actually seen... Yeah, it's cute. It's really cute. It's okay, just a... It's essentially just like the Bat Family, hey, like just hanging out on the downtime, like, you know, in between missions and whatnot, just actually chilling and being a family, and it's cute.
Nah,
so
you.
Yeah, if you just want to see these characters interact, yeah, give it a quick read. It's free.
Yeah, it's a bit of like a slice of life type of Batman series. I do like it a lot. I only got to read the first episode currently, but I'm excited to read more of it as it goes on. It's really interesting.
Okay, next up on the news, we have the new Matrix trailer. So Matrix Resurrection, I believe that's what it's called, or something like that. But Matrix is back. Keanu Reeves, the main character. Everybody, it's back. I'm excited. What are you guys' thoughts on it? Did you guys see the trailer?
I never thought we'd get another one, but I guess we're here now. Especially...
Honestly, I think...
What were you going to say?
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, I feel like I need a refresher because it's been so long. Mm-hmm. So I'm probably planning to definitely rewatch the original trilogy and then watch it again in theaters whenever it comes out.
It's one of those things where nobody asked for it, but I'm not mad that I got it.
It was kind of expected. Like, Keanu's, like, freaking career has been, like, just, like, resurrected, like, since, what, 2019?
Mm-hmm.
Like, 2019, like, 2020. And, like, he's just, like, been just riding the popularity train again. So, another Matrix isn't actually all that surprising, to be honest.
When you put it that way, yeah, that does make sense when you put it that way. Next up, with the Matrix, so I do want to state something that I thought was very weird. What's his name? Mobius? Mobius is going to be, he's going to be in this movie, not the same actor, the same character will be in this movie, except he is young, so we'll be seeing a younger Mobius. When I saw that trailer and I was thinking to myself, I just imagined Spider-Man No Way Home just with Doctor Strange. That's weird, but I'll allow it.
Wait, why is he young?
Right?
Why
is he younger? I was like, that is weird, but I'll allow it. Go ahead.
It's not like the actor like that currently plays him is dead. He's in John Wick.
He is.
He plays another guy in John Wick. So obviously him and Keanu are still like working together. I wonder why.
Maybe he just didn't want to sign on to be in the movie, which is odd.
Probably. Maybe that says a lot about what the script was like. I don't know. Alright, let's see. What else is next up on the list? We have... Alright, so we're not going to go ahead and talk about the Marvel What If stuff yet. We'll go ahead and figure out what happened during PlayStation Showcase, guys. Okay, so... Insomniac! Wolverine! Holy shit!
Oh.
I was not
expecting a Wolverine game this decade.
When I saw
goodness.
When I saw the Insomniac logo, I was like, yes, Spider-Man. Then I saw a guy in the bar, I was like, no way. And then I saw right there next to the bar, there was a drink that says Hulk 181, which is the first ever release of Wolverine. He came in with that and he ended up 180. But, you know, I guess it counts as 181. But so that was like, oh snap, is that Wolverine? Like, and then the claws pop out. I'm excited. Insomnia has never failed me. I'm excited.
Oh, all I gotta say is this better be bloody as hell. This has to be rated M. This game legitimately has to be rated M. Because, like, the last Wolverine game we got, well, I think it was X-Men Origins, and that game is actually amazing.
Yeah, as a kid, I loved that game, dude.
I never played it. I don't know how good it is. I've never played it.
So, it's based off of X-Men Origins Wolverine the movie, okay? Mm-hmm. So, story's not there, but the gameplay itself is amazing. Like, you act like, look, this sounds, I'm sounding like every game journalist ever, but it makes you feel like Wolverine.
Okay, like, so I'm excited.
Like, it's really cool. Like, it's gory. You have different moves. You, like, there's some certain special costumes. You can unlock his classic and his brown suit. You have... Like, you have these upgrades, you do have a healing factor, and if you do get shot enough, like, you could look at yourself, and, like, you could see, like your skin reforming, like your skin reforming and stuff, and, like, if you get damaged enough, but don't die, you could see, like, some of the bones on you, and it's like, oh my god.
I feel like that will be a feature in this upcoming game that you will be able to see stuff like that, so I'm excited.
So yeah, this for a fact, oh my goodness, like this is, like this actually is getting me hyped, because like I was like, oh hey, because I just saw the thumbnail itself for Wolverine, like oh shit, a Wolverine game, okay. Yeah. Then I saw Insomnia, I'm like, okay, this might actually be good.
Oh, well, it's definitely gonna be good. I trust Insomnia. I just hope that it has a M rating, like you said, and then I'll fully enjoy that game.
Yeah.
I hope this leads to more like X-Men type of games coming out in the future as well. That'll actually be a really good introduction to introduce like the X-Men in the future.
Man, don't to
reintroduce them back into like the mainstream, because it has been a while for them.
Okay.
Oh, for sure.
Now I just gotta go into my fanboy theory about the Eternals. So like, any huge comic book fan of the X-Men or the Inhumans will know that the Eternals is how the X-Men came to be. So of course, it was a celestial host. They came into Earth. The rated 13 put their seeds in it. Not rated R put their seeds in it. They put their seed into Earth, and they created different types of humans. They created the Celestials. They created the Eternals, which is the high heaven being Eternals. They created the Deviants, which are the people who go into Atlantis, and then they created the Potentials, which are the people who will turn into either Inhumans, or the people who will turn into regular people, or the people who will turn into the mutants. That's how we got the Hulk. The Hulk has some celestial deviation gene in him. That's why the gamma radiation didn't kill him, and it turned him into the Hulk. That's why Captain America did not just die from the overdose of Vita rays, and he became Captain America instead. It all leads back to the Eternals, and I hope they do that. I hope they do that in the movie. I just hope so. Anyways, I'm sure by now you guys can tell that I am a huge comic book nerd, so there you go, guys. There you go. Next up on the list, we have Spider-Man 2. Miles Morales will be playable. Venom is in there, and possibly Craven, because we do hear him in there. What do you guys think about the trailer?
Absolutely got chills watching that trailer. Hearing, when I saw Venom.
Hearing Craven was sick, I'm like, oh shit, Craven's the villain. And then I heard, yes, we are. And I saw Venom's close-up face, and I'm like, that's a nice Venom face. Hold on a minute. That's a good Venom changes. Face.
There were some changes. I will say, at first, everybody who saw the trailer at first thought it was going to be an Infamous trailer, because they did it. PlayStation has been teasing that there might be something coming out about the Infamous, and it's one of the most popular series. So when we saw the electricity hitting the light post, we're like, okay, Infamous, that makes sense, because Infamous has electricity. Nope. Then we saw a spider web. I was like, ah, yeah, there we go. All right. So Miles's his Venom Blast is different. It's not yellow anymore. It's going to be white/light blue. And, my theory on how the gameplay is going to be is with Miles, he's going to have more RPG style gameplay, whereas he will be using the Venom Blast in every single one of his attacks. Meanwhile, Peter Parker will be more on the tech side, setting up traps and field based stuff. That's my theory on it.
Do you think Miles will be like someone like if you play God of War, do you think he'll be someone like Atreus?
I hope not.
Yeah, I'm hoping not as well. I hope he's actually like a playable character similar to like GTA, where you can like switch. Mm-hmm. In and out.
Right. He's already got a complete move set and everything. It'd be a waste if he wasn't a character in himself.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Atreus, God of War Ragnarok official teaser trailer is out. We have some official official art for Thor. Thor is gonna be fat. He's gonna be redhead like the original Nordic mythology. So that's cool. And dude, I am excited. Everything looks great.
Oh, I'm beyond excited.
It looks like they're setting up for a war, bro.
Oh man, I'm super excited for it. I also, I feel like this is perfect, because I believe the girl at the end, isn't that supposed to be Loki's wife? Like the Jotun? I don't know how to pronounce
it. Jotunheim, yeah. Not her name, but that is supposed to be one of Loki's wives, yes.
Yeah. So they might end up introducing Fenrir and everybody else.
I want to see Fenrir. Because they are,
like, in the past, even though, like, certain characters did get hit from the future into the past, like Jormungandr, uh-huh, and anyone else. So I'm like very excited to see how this all plays out. And Tyr! Oh my god! He's a behemoth of a man! He is massive!
Oh man, right? Compared to Kratos!
Unit right there.
Compared to good Kratos, god. Bro, he is huge. Oh,
Kratos is a walking is a brick shit house. This guy's just built different.
Right when he looked down at him, I was like, "Oh snap!" Oh, dude, I cannot wait. I am really excited. Oh, man. That about wraps it up for the main topics. Next up, we're moving into What If. Some special requests from Graviton. He did say he did not want to get any spoilers from What If, so we will not be discussing that while he is here. But Graviton, any last words? We're not killing him, I promise.
It was a pleasure to be here, and I hope one day I do get to come back again and discuss topics with you, because it was really fun. It was really fun, and I do like talking with you guys about all these topics that we discussed today. So, on that note, I will catch you guys next time.
Before you do go, and how can the viewers get in touch with you in case they do want to get in touch with you? Do you have any handles you want to go ahead and advertise, like Instagram, Twitter, or something, anything?
To be honest with you, I don't really use much social media, but I do have a Twitter, but I don't really use it too often. But if you do, for some reason, want to hit me up or anything like that, at Rattle Viper, that is my Twitter handle. But on that note, I will see you guys next time, and I will be rewatching the podcast. So, catch you guys later.
See you, all right, man. Great for having you.
Take it easy.
So, let's get into Marvel What If Zombies. This week's episode was all about zombies. This is one of the episodes everybody has been excited for. I will go ahead and say one thing, guys. The disappointment is we did not get Sorcerer Supreme Spider-Man as much as the trailer teased us. It was a cock block. Yeah, so Hulk is how we get introduced into the series. So this starts during exactly Infinity War. Remember the scene where Hulk gets sent by Heimdall down to Earth, and he meets into Doctor Strange's Sanctorum, and he's like, Thanos is coming, and everyone's like, who? And then, you know, the whole thing starts. That's how this series starts. So he goes inside there, and he lands into the Sanctum, and he says, Thanos is coming, but nobody comes there to check. There's no Strange, there's no Wong, nobody, not even Tony. And then we realize they've all already been turned to zombies before this. And that's when we first figure out when they got turned into zombies. So during Ant-Man and the Wasp, the movie, Hank decides to go into the Quantum Realm to rescue his wife. What's his wife's name? I forgot his wife's name. But when he goes to rescue his... Janet Van Dyne. Yeah. When he goes in to rescue Janet, the thing is the Quantum Realm did something to Janet and turned her into a zombie. So it's a quantum virus that turns her into a zombie. And because he goes in there and gets in contact with her, it gets transferred to him, and he comes back to our world from the Quantum Realm and transfers it over to Scott, Hope, and everybody else, and that's how the zombie plague spreads. It makes sense. Instead of saying that some scientists filled in some experiment and made zombies, it comes from the Quantum Realm, and that's why it's not so easily cured. It makes sense.
Yeah, Quantum Realm, like, usually Quantum Realm is nothing but bullshit, so yeah, this makes sense.
Yeah, so I'm completely excited for it. So we get a zombie Iron Man, who gets killed by I don't know, somebody kills him, but before everything happens, we saw the zombie Iron Man going into a fight against Doctor Strange's cloak. So Doctor Strange's cloak does not turn into a zombie. He's very well alive and nice, so yay for Cloaky. I call him Cloaky, and Cloaky has an attachment to Spider-Man. That's why we see Spider-Man with Doctor Strange's cloak, but Spider-Man does not have any magical powers. So I was a little bummed out. I was like, yeah, oh, okay. Yeah, alright, that's cool. So Janet, okay, I already said the whole Janet thing. So the Avengers were the huge catalyst of why the virus was spread. Because the virus, when it started in San Francisco, when the virus was spread in San Francisco, the Avengers came in and they're like, okay, we're gonna stop this. We're gonna make sure it's centered around only the city and can't go anywhere. And then what they didn't realize is that the virus came from Ant-Man. So what happened was that Ant-Man was shrunk as a little bit, and he came in as a mosquito bite in Captain America, and bit Captain America, and Captain America got turned into a zombie, and he bit everybody else, and then the entire Avengers became zombies. That was a quick one-hit KO, so yeah, they weren't very prepared for that. And because those powerful guys became zombies, everybody became zombies. Except
yeah, the world was just kind of screwed the second, you know, Earth's Mightiest Heroes just kind of, you know, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so everybody except Black Panther, but we don't learn about that till later on. So, the survivors are, of course, Bruce Banner, Hulk, we have Spider-Man, we have Janet Van Dyne, she was able to escape, so she did survive. We have, what's her name?
You mean Hope?
Yeah, Hope Van Dyne, yeah. These Van Dynes, bro. So we have Hope Van Dyne, we have, Bucky survived, we have Bucky. We have one of Scott Lang's, you know the guys who were in the cleaning crew, the part of, like, the Damn Man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, one of the guys in the cleaning crew survives. Everybody else
is it the Mexican?
Not the Mexican, the other one.
It's not the Mexican.
I wish it was a Mexican. I know.
People only know the Mexican from that. What do you mean? It's not the Mexican.
It's the other one, the taller one. Remember the one in charge of the fight?
No, I don't. I only remember the Mexican.
I wish it was the Mexican too, but it's the other guy. And what's his name? Not Rhodey. Happy Hogan. He survives. So Happy survives. And who else? Sharon Carter. Sharon Carter survives. And Okoye, Black Panther's assistant, she survives. So the way this happens is that they become the quote-unquote Avengers, but they don't have anybody to make them Avengers because there's no Avengers in that team. When Hulk joins them, Hulk is like, I officially declare all you guys Avengers. And they figured out that there's a signal to go find the cure. Somebody has a cure. Somebody says, broadcast on the radio station, I have a cure. Come to our shelter or whatever. We'll find you. I will say, this feels a lot like Walking Dead. Why? Because is that his name? Tom Taylor? No, I don't think it's Tom Taylor. What's his name? I remember it starts with Tom. What's his name? The creator of Walking Dead.
Very professional.
Okay, Robert Kirkman. It wasn't a Tom, it was Robert Kirkman. I don't know why I mistaked Tom and Robert Kirkman.
That was so off. You were so off on that.
It was so off. So Robert Kirkman is the guy who wrote of Marvel Zombies, the original Marvel Zombies that was launched, I think, in 2009. When he wrote Marvel Zombies, he said that it was going to be a launch for his own personal series. It was going to be a testbed. And then we really realized that it was a testbed for Walking Dead, which he did release. And after Walking Dead, he released Invincible. So he's in charge of all those bloody stuff. He was also part of the co-directors for this specific episode. That's why it feels a lot like a Walking Dead episode. That's why the whole thing about, hey, we have a virus, come follow us, this radio signal. It's the thing that happens around season 7 or so of The Walking Dead. So I thought it was a pretty cute Easter egg. So the whole quote-unquote Avengers team going towards the signal, and they found out that the zombies near the signal are not moving. They're all staying very stagnant. More on that later. But Captain America's zombie decided that he's going to attack the whole team. So he attacks the whole team, but the person who was able to defeat him was Bucky. And Bucky inherits his shield, and we get Bucky Captain America. That's pretty cool. I just like Bucky with shield. He looks badass. It's beautiful.
Yeah, the arm and the shield are just kind of cool, aren't they?
Yeah. Right after that happens, unfortunately, during the fight, Hope was injured, so she does turn into a zombie. But before she turns into a zombie, she's able to help everybody escape. And then she turns into a zombie. But so we lost Hope. And now they go inside the area and they find that they realize that, okay, yeah, these guys are just staying still. The zombies over here are not moving. For some reason, these guys are brain dead. So they go in and they enter inside the facility, and that's where we see Vision. Vision was able to theorize that with the Mind Stone, he's able to nullify the brain waves of each and every one of these zombies, because the zombie virus is originated through some sort of mind warp. That's how everybody becomes zombies. And it makes sense a little bit. It's Infinity Stone stuff and it's Quantum Realm Stone stuff. So you can't say what's good and what's not good. So it's all bullshit anyway. So it makes sense. Then we found out that Black Panther was alive, but he's being kept in a hidden facility. So Vision is not really having he has a cure, but he's not trying to cure everybody. He's trying to lure everybody in as bait. Because the person who he's trying to cure is Wanda. Scarlet Witch. The thing is, Scarlet Witch is too powerful to be cured with just the Mind Stone, because she is a reality warping character. So her mind cannot easily be cured by just the Mind Stone. So he needs to find some way to channel the Mind Stone and make it into a bigger source. Until then, he has to feed her so she doesn't die of hunger, and he has to feed her very repeatedly, slowly, so she doesn't overexert herself and become so powerful that she escapes the cage that she's in. So every person that comes in, every refugee that comes in and says, hey, we heard that you guys had the virus cure or whatever, he captures them, cuts them into pieces, and feeds them slowly to Scarlet Vision. I was like, God,
Jesus
damn.
Christ, Vision.
Right?
And oh, that's sick.
It's sick, bro. And the most recent person who came in before the Avengers came in was Black Panther. And Black Panther is over there in the bed. His leg is gone and it's wrapped up, and the leg was being fed to Wanda. And he kept him alive because he needs to feed live flesh. So Black Panther was alive while having his leg cut off like that. God damn, bro.
Vision, you couldn't think of anything better? Like, oh my God.
Yeah, it got really dark. This is one of my favorite episodes. The Doctor Strange one is still better than this one, in my opinion. But Bucky and everybody else are like, hey, Vision, we don't agree with what you're doing. We think it's a very bad idea. Bucky accidentally wakes up Scarlet. And because of that, Scarlet Witch wakes up and he's like, rawr! And she goes a burst throughout the place. So now you have this reality warping zombie who's about to take down everybody. But because it's a zombie, she's not exactly fully aware of her powers. So she's out here blasting stuff and everything. And Vision's like, yeah, I understand. I fucked up. Tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and sacrifice myself. You guys go ahead and try to escape. He gives them the Mind Stone. So he takes it out of them and gives them the Mind Stone so they can use it and go and figure out a cure and how to enhance it. Meanwhile, he's going to stay back and sacrifice himself and distract Wanda. Hulk also decides that he's going to stay back. So we have Scarlet Witch versus the Hulk. And it's just an amazing fight. I loved it. It was really beautiful. And yeah, that's how the story ends. There is no happy ending.
Like that. Of course there's no happy ending. There can't be a happy ending to that.
Yeah, it's just...
The only thing... Look, no, the only thing I can see, you know, where things get out okay, Thanos shows up.
Thanos does actually show up. He's shown as a zombie, but that's like it ends exactly on the clip where Thanos shows up with the.
Oh, really? Wait, he turns. Oh, dang it!
Yes, 5 out of 6.
Oh my god!
And he's a zombie, and he's just done. Like this. Ah, dude, I'm excited for what happens after this. But they left it on a cliffhanger. Yeah, that's how the episode ends.
Oh god. Yeah, right? No. Like the only ray of hope in that situation was Thanos, and he's a zombie now. So.
Yeah. So far, we do know that the person who seems like the story is going to focus on a lot is going to be T'Challa and Peter, because those are the two smartest guys of the team that survived. So it looks like the rest, if there is a part two to Marvel Zombies, it's going to be those two. And I like it. If anybody can figure it out, it's going to be those two. So, yeah. Man. It got dark quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, that about wraps it all up for this episode, guys. Let me see. There's nothing. Yep, that about wraps it all up. So, guys, thank you all so much for tuning in. Make sure to leave a like, comment, subscribe, share it to your family and friends. Be sure to follow us on Instagram @into_@into.thenebula. And on Twitter @.
Why do you screw this up every time?
I'm sorry.
You do it every time. Do you want me to do it? I can try it.
No.
Are you sure?
Yes. On Twitter, @into_thenebula. We appreciate you guys so much. Make sure to leave a like, comment, subscribe, share it to your family and friends. And if you would like to be a guest, be sure to tune in and we'll pick one randomly some other time. Some random time. We are not sure yet. But yeah, peace out. Stay classy, guys.
Yeah.